This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Trump cabinet takes further shape. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Thursday, December 8th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Oklahoma Attorney General has been tapped to lead the EPA, and a former pro wrestling executive gets the nod to head the Small Business Administration.
Emergency workers have ended their search for victims in the Oakland warehouse fire, where there were no smoke alarms, no sprinkler system, and no required permits.
Ohio lawmakers have approved what could be the strictest abortion law in the country, but will the so-called Heartbeat bill stand up in court.
And a little-known credit card perk regarding returns.
I feel like I had heard of every credit card perk known to man, because this is what I write about often, but there is something called guaranteed returns. About one in four credit cards offer it. And what they do is allow you to return merchandise, whether it's electronics or clothing, that you bought on the credit card, even when that retailer no longer accepts the return.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on the perk that could net you $2,500. She's here in about 20 minutes. President-elect Donald Trump has chosen a man who's been critical of the Environmental Protection Agency to be its new administrator. He's Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, who's led legal fights against some of President Obama's most significant environmental rules, like one that cut power plant carbon emissions. Here's senior Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway.
We're very accustomed to the naysayers and the critics, so we know some people are still running a permanent campaign, but Attorney General Pruitt has great qualifications and a good record as the AG of Oklahoma.
Other cabinet picks: retired four-star Marine General John Kelly, who commanded troops in Iraq, has been tapped for Homeland Security. His son, by the way, was killed fighting in Afghanistan. He'll be in charge, of course, of things like the border with Mexico. And Linda McMahon to head the Small Business Administration. She's a co-founder of WWE, right? World Wrestling Entertainment, and a one-time Republican candidate for U.S. Senate from Connecticut. But wasn't it Triple H who used to decide things based on what's best for business? Well, this is starting to sound like a broken record, but a welcome one if you're invested in the stock market. Stocks reached more record highs yesterday. With details, here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Dow Industrials rose nearly 300 points to a record, and the S&P 500 also hit a fresh high. It was the biggest rally since the election, as investors increasingly feel that President-elect Trump will be good for business and the economy. Investors seem to like the sound of promised tax cuts, rollbacks of certain regulatory rules, and fiscal stimulus under Republican leadership in Washington. Also helping, corporate profits are on the mend. The rate of U.S. economic growth has picked up, and there's some life in the jobs market. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. While the broader market, by the way, has rallied over the past month, the Wall Street Journal points out that individual sectors and stocks have fluctuated on Mr. Trump's comments. Healthcare and biotechnology stocks slid yesterday after Mr. Trump was quoted in a Time magazine article as saying, quote, "I'm going to bring down drug prices." It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Make Michigan your number one choice for business. Well, Donald Trump's presidency raises optimism for a better business environment in Washington, but his approach to taking on individual companies is a concern. That's the takeaway from a fourth quarter survey of CEOs. More from Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Marath. Eric, what's being said?
So there's this group here in Washington that's the business roundtable, and that's the CEOs of, you know, kind of like the Fortune 500 companies that are based in the U.S. Their chairman this year is the CEO of Caterpillar, to give you the size of the companies that we're talking about here. And so they had, their quarterly survey and conference call yesterday. And, you know, their tone, a little different than before the election. Certainly, they were talking a lot more optimistically about the president-elect and what Donald Trump will do for businesses here in the U.S. They're particularly very excited about the possibility of some tax reform. That you know, has pretty much been a non-starter with the divide between Congress and the White House the past 8 years. They're really hopeful that Paul Ryan and Donald Trump will see eye to eye on this, and they'll get this tax reform they've been advocating for years. But they definitely struck a cautious tone, and certainly the CEO of Caterpillar did. They didn't like that, you know, Donald Trump already has shown a tendency to call out specific companies and try to make specific changes there. We saw just recently Donald Trump was in Indiana touring a carrier plant and praising them for keeping jobs in the U.S. after calling them out repeatedly on the campaign trail. He's had his skirmishes with Ford and, of course, just yesterday with Boeing. So we're talking about the titans of industry here in the United States, and he's certainly willing to take them on. And I don't think any CEO wants to be called out by the President of the United States.
What else are they optimistic about, Eric?
Well, you know, the kind of interesting thing that I pulled out of this report was, you know, they're pretty optimistic about hiring. They're planning to step up hiring, or a larger share of the CEOs plan to step up hiring in the next 6 months to start next year. So that seems to indicate that they have confidence that the economy will continue to grow at a modest pace, and that you know the new president won't throw anything off. Interestingly, though, they weren't as optimistic about capital investment. They seem willing to hire, but not quite as willing to invest in new plants, equipment, and those types of things. So that tends to be longer-term stuff. So it may seem that they have some short-term optimism, or they expect a boost in the first half of next year, but are a little bit more cautious that over the longer term, we're in great shape.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Morath. His piece is called CEOs Optimistic About Donald Trump's Policies, But Wary of One-Off Situations. When you said they were optimistic about hiring, were they optimistic about hiring already, given the current environment, or is the fact that Mr. Trump was elected giving them reasons to be optimistic?
Well, it's a little bit hard to say specifically if it was the election, but you know, obviously I think that would have to play a role. In the previous quarter, more companies said that they plan to eliminate jobs than add jobs among this group of 100 or so, you know, major U.S. companies. That switched here this fall to more companies saying they plan to hire than not to hire. So I think there might be some, you know, sense of optimism about the near term. You know, if I'll speculate a little bit, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about a big infrastructure investment plan. And obviously, I mentioned they're excited about the tax cuts. And most economists say that tends to spark better economic growth, but generally in the short term. So if you think consumers will have a few more dollars in their pockets, if you think there'll be a bunch of building going on and that's going to get people jobs, and then therefore they're going to go to stores and they're going to, you know, improve their homes and do all those other things that consumers do, then you might say, hey, we need to step up and make sure that we're prepared for this demand. So that could be an indication of what these businesses might be thinking.
Thanks, Eric. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Morath from our nation's capital. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office. It will be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. I have a great solution for you, Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it, then the mailman picks it up. It's so easy and so convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com and enter the code DEAL. Hey, Gledger with us. The search for bodies in the rubble of that burned-out warehouse in Oakland, California has wrapped up. The death toll remains at 36 following last Friday night's blaze at a party. Meanwhile, officials found no smoke detectors nor a sprinkler system, and say the building was equipped with a makeshift stairwell and had no exits on the second floor. Investigators say it must have been a terrifying scene. The building lost power as flames broke out, with people inside the darkened structure overcome by smoke as the only exit was blocked by flames. ATF Special Agent Jill Snyder.
Smoke traveled up the stairwells, trapping the occupants on the second floor.
Survivors say the flames broke a window, which allowed in oxygen that apparently intensified the flames. Investigators are still trying to piece together what sparked the blaze, but the fire appears to have started on the first floor. A refrigerator is being examined as a possible point of origin. Investigators are also working to determine if there was criminal liability for the fire. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, authorities have charged two juveniles in an East Tennessee wildfire that killed 14 people and destroyed or damaged more than 2,400 buildings in an iconic tourism spot at the foot of the Great Smoky Mountains. Sevier County District Attorney Jimmy Dunn says the juveniles face aggravated arson charges.
Additional charges are being considered, and all options available to the state when dealing with juveniles are on the table.
Officials offered few other details about how they think the two started the fire. Republican and Democratic lawmakers say they plan to investigate Russian meddling in the presidential election, including the hacking of emails from Democratic political organizations and Hillary Clinton's campaign staff. They say significant questions remain about how the Russian government transferred stolen emails to WikiLeaks, as well as Moscow's role in the production of fabricated news stories that appear intended to mislead voters. But their efforts face opposition from President-elect Trump, who has continued to deny there's proof of Russia's involvement. A survivor of the killings of nine parishioners at a church in Charleston says she watched her son take his last breath and witnessed her best friend be brutally slain at the hands of suspect Dylan Roof during an emotional opening day of the federal trial yesterday. Felicia Sanders describes the horrific moments as Roof opened fire during a Bible studies class at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church on June 17, 2015. Sanders' granddaughter was also present during the shooting but survived. For the first time in more than two decades, life expectancy in the U.S. has declined for the first time. Data show rises in several causes of death, especially heart disease, dementia, and accidental infant deaths. Researchers say the only good news is that the cancer death rate continues to decrease. And you've heard of therapy dogs, maybe a therapy cat or two, but a therapy pig? Well, there's one on duty now at San Francisco International Airport. The pig is the newest member of the airport's WAG Brigade, therapy animals that help ease traveler stress by offering a friendly head to pat. An airport spokesman says she's a big hit. Passengers pet her pink snout and stroke her back. She's even dressed for the part with a pilot's cap and a blue tutu.
It's called the WAG Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That'd be worth this trip to San Francisco just to see the pig, I think.
If you're stressed out. I don't know if a pig is the thing that I want to pet when I'm stressed out.
Maybe there's some farm influence there in the Bay Area, which would seem unusual also.
Yes.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Here's something important for this time of year. Did you know that a handful of credit cards allow you to return merchandise to them, even when the retailer you purchased from doesn't allow returns anymore? It's a story about a little-known perk from MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Katie, what's up here?
Right, so this is interesting. I feel like I had heard of every credit card perk known to man, because this is what I write about often, but there is something called guaranteed returns. About one in four credit cards offer it. And what they do is allow you to return merchandise, whether it's electronics or clothing, that you bought on the credit card, even when that retailer no longer accepts the return. So let's say you bought, a really nice new sweater, but the store said after 30 days you can no longer return things. Often your credit card company will extend that return window and let you return it to them for a refund. So, on day, 40 or day 60 or whatever after the return window has closed, they'll still let you return it if you bought it on your credit card. So that's a pretty decent perk for people who are forgetful and realize, oh, that sweater is still sitting in my closet with the tags on. I'm just going to lose out on all that money. I don't even want the sweater anymore. You should check your credit card to see if it offers that perk.
Wow, that's nice for like the women who need like that dress for that one occasion, perhaps,
Right, wear it, keep the tags on.
Yeah.
Is that where you're going?
Oh, you got to keep the tags on. Oh, bummer. Yeah. So that's great. Who does it, by the way? Who offers that?
So American Express, Discover, and MasterCard, not all cards that they offer offer it, but some of their cards offer it. Really, Discover has the best one, the most lucrative for you. So Discover, it's a monetary cap of $500 per item, but you have a 90-day window that you can return the thing to the credit card company, and $2,500 annual cap a year. The MasterCard and American Express options are a little less generous, but still, this is a credit card perk that almost no one I'd spoken to had heard about. Most consumers just have no idea that their credit card even offers this. And, you know, it is something that, you know, especially with the holidays coming, right, and you know, you get a gift or something, with a gift receipt, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, the store's not going to let me return it. What do I do? Well, here you go. Your credit card might actually be letting you return that.
Interesting. So you return it to the credit card company. What do they do with it?
Good question. I asked the experts I talked to for the story, hey, what does the credit card company do with it? Unclear. And I kept picturing a big warehouse full of weird stuff. But I don't know what they do with it. But not very many people are taking advantage of it, so I guess there's not a very big warehouse of stuff that needs to be returned. But it is a pretty generous perk. Now, you have to give them the receipt, right? Usually you have to give them the receipt. You probably fill out something online. But, you know, once you do that, it's actually a pretty decent perk. And there's usually exceptions. Like, they're not going to do this for jewelry. You can't buy a car on this thing and then return it. Food is usually accepted from this. But, you know, general things like retail merchandise, like clothing and electronics, those usually are included in this. And that's kind of often the thing where you realize, oh, the store has a 30-day return policy. Totally missed that window. That's when you check your credit card.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When your medical practice is growing fast and you have more patients than you have room for, you need to start, well, making some room, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new exam tables and stools, x-ray machines, and microscopes quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, December 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Oklahoma AG tapped for EPA chief. Linda McMahon of WWE fame floated as small business administrator. Two teens charged with the Tennessee wildfires. One Georgia cop killed and another wounded responding to a domestic dispute. On Wall Street, stocks reach new highs again. A court says Michael Jordan owns the right to his name in Chinese characters. Play a demo of the new Super Mario Run game in the Apple Store beginning today. And the bizarre gift sold out at a high-end retailer. That story in about 20 minutes. Abortion legislation is making news in Ohio, where lawmakers have approved a bill that bans the practice once a fetal heartbeat can be detected as early as 6 weeks after conception. That could make it one of the toughest restrictions in the country if it becomes law. It now heads to the desk of Governor John Kasich. And although Mr. Kasich opposes abortion, in the past, he has questioned whether this particular legislation passes constitutional muster. For analysis, we're joined now live by Byron Henry, attorney and constitutional scholar. Morning, Byron. What do you make legally of this so-called heartbeat bill?
Great to be with you, Gordon. Well, specifically, this would be one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, mainly because it really tests the Roe v. Wade scheme that's been on the books for, you know, over 40 years, 50 years almost, and that is specifically Roe said that the state has no interest in the health of the fetus or protecting the life of the fetus in the first trimester. We know science has advanced, and the trimester scheme is pretty much, from a scientific perspective, out the window, and that was usually the first 13 weeks. So all this is doing is saying now you can basically detect the heartbeat in the first 6 to 8 weeks. And what I think Ohio should argue and is going to argue is that the interest of the state in protecting the fetus doesn't begin at 13 weeks at the end of the first trimester. It begins when you can detect the heartbeat, which is going to back it up a few weeks to 6 to 8 weeks. And so that would be the argument. But under the Supreme Court is currently constituted, even with a president-elect Donald Trump nominee that is conservative and would let's presume for the moment that would vote to uphold the regulation like this, you still have Justice Anthony Kennedy on the court, which is the swing vote on abortion cases generally, and he just most recently joined the majority, striking down a host of laws passed in Texas that placed what he believed was an undue burden on a woman's right to have an abortion, and they were basically safety regulations for abortion clinics. Mm. So you do have a Supreme Court that seems hostile to what some would consider the most restrictive abortion legislation. Justice Kennedy has been okay with some restrictions on abortion. He hasn't struck all restrictions down, but this may be a bridge too far under the court as currently constituted.
All right, so that said then, Byron, could it be just a matter of time since Mr. Trump obviously might get the chance to pick more than one Supreme Court justice?
Well, basically, I think that's the view of pro-life advocates as well as the legislature in Ohio, and that is as science advances and as the state interest advances in preserving life and as more and more pro-life legislation is being upheld and being passed across the nation, that you have to take these steps in order to determine, you know, how far the state's interest can go and what the courts will uphold. So you can't just presuppose that a Supreme Court that's never ruled on this particular legislation with potential appointees. I mean, a case like this won't get through the system for a few years. You don't know who's going to be on the Supreme Court. So I think the argument is you can't just presuppose that it's going to be struck down automatically. That's not your job. That's the court's job. Your job is to do the will of the people, to protect the life of the infant. And, of course, John Kasich has been a friend of the pro-life movement, because Ohio has a lot of abortion restrictions and some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. Of course, this would make it even more restrictive.
Yeah, I know he has said that he's concerned about it passing constitutional muster, but if I understand it correctly from a story I read, I'll read you this line. When the Supreme Court legalized abortion, it said that states could permit restrictions once a fetus was viable. Doesn't that seem to kind of cover this in Ohio?
Well, yes, those fetal heartbeat laws are different than viability. A lot of states have laws restricting abortion viability. They range from 20 to 24 weeks. Texas has one that is a 20-week statute. It bans abortion except in very limited circumstances after 20 weeks.
I see.
This is before viability. This is not that the fetus is obviously viable at 6 to 8 weeks. Most science, it's almost that'd be unanimous that they are not viable after 6 to 8 weeks. This is that the state has an interest in preserving the life of the fetus once a heartbeat is detected, meaning it is gone far enough in the line not to be viable, but to merit protection, such as some of the fetal pain laws that you've seen in different states, where once a fetus can feel pain from the process, they may not be viable, so to speak, but they can feel pain. So the state has an interest in protecting the life and health of the fetus when it can feel pain. So that's kind of the difference between viability and moving it even further back or inside 20 weeks to 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow. Fine point for sure. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Byron. Much appreciated. Byron Henry, attorney and constitutional scholar, talking about this so-called heartbeat bill that has advanced in Ohio. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to throw this in because this is a late developing behind-the-scenes item that has happened here at This Morning program. So Mike Gavin, veteran broadcaster, for some reason, chose to eat popcorn just moments ago, which is absolutely the enemy of somebody who has to speak on a regular basis. So we're going to see if Mike can get through this report talking about the other stories you'll be hearing this morning.
Wait, look,
without choking himself out.
In my defense, there's not a lot of food around here this time of the morning. The cafeteria is not open yet.
I'm sorry,
look,
that's poor.
You know.
That's poor.
I'm sorry, I couldn't wait an hour for the cafeteria to open. You got to grab what's nearby. Well, good morning. There's been some debate, Gordon, as you know, among football fans recently about who would win if college football powerhouse Alabama were to have a showdown with the currently winless Cleveland Browns. Most experts deny that the Crimson Tide will be able to keep up with the NFL's worst team, despite putting together one of the most dominating college squads in recent memory. But that didn't stop BleacherReport.com from searching for answers video game style. The site ran a video game simulation for the hypothetical contest between the teams for Facebook Live yesterday afternoon, and it's safe to say that things didn't go well for the NFL side. In fact, the Browns failed to score a single point as the number one ranked Tide crushed them 34-0. Jeez. In an attempt to find even a sliver of a silver lining, though, Bleacher Report did point out that former Browns QB Johnny Manziel did beat Alabama when he was in college.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know if that's more helpful or hurtful.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for Browns fans.
That's sticky.
I think it's all around not good.
Right. Okay, so you made it through story number one.
Okay, here we go.
Without choking.
All right, let's gear up for number two. And speaking of Ohio, Gordon, a suburban Cincinnati man who has become famous and to some infamous for the zombie nativity scene he puts up in his yard every year, is up in arms over alleged vandals. Jason Dixon says that somebody beheaded his ghoulish-looking Mary figure and flipped the greenish baby Jesus into the yard. Dixon told local TV that it's the first time someone has intentionally damaged the structure since he started the display in 2014. If the vandals were looking to weaken Dixon's resolve to express himself, they probably picked the wrong guy. The local township took Dixon to court last year to try to get the display taken down, but were unsuccessful, and Dixon says that he has since repaired the scene and will keep rebuilding if necessary.
Ah.
Yes, I remember we did the story about this guy who was being taken to court about this time last year because people were not too thrilled over his zombie nativity scene.
Oh, boy. I like how you position it, though. This is the first time someone has actually intentionally damaged the structure.
Yes.
In the long two-year history of this man putting up this type
right.
of display.
But it was controversial, and it did make a lot of news last year. A lot of people were very upset about it.
Right.
A lot of folks were not a fan of it. So, I guess it's the first time someone has taken action.
Why do I get the sense now, too, that perhaps the person or people who attacked this display may not come back again, but because of the publicity, others...
Right.
We'll do copycat.
And of course, he keeps saying, I'm gonna rebuild. I'm gonna rebuild. And then So he's got to have a line outside his door probably by the end of the day.
Battle of the wills here. He's got to set up a camera like some people have.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Throw that up there, see what happens.
I think that's next. Yeah. Be smart.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to a state that's one of America's top 10 for business, where 2,000 burdensome regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years and is now home to the sixth best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Again, that's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President-elect Trump is expected to nominate Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to lead the EPA. The 48-year-old Republican has been a reliable booster of the fossil fuel industry and an outspoken critic of what he derides as the EPA's activist agenda. White House spokesman Josh Earnest isn't surprised by the pick.
The kinds of people that President-elect Trump has chosen appear to have, in many cases, different priorities, different styles, and in some cases, starkly different bank accounts.
The Sierra Club likened Pruitt's selection as EPA administrator to putting an arsonist in charge of fighting fires. President-elect Trump is slamming a union leader who criticized his deal to discourage Carrier Corporation from closing an Indiana factory and moving jobs to Mexico. Trump tweeted, "Chuck Jones, who is president of United Steelworkers 1999, has done a terrible job representing workers." Jones told the Washington Post Trump lied about how many jobs were saved by the deal, which included $7 million in state tax incentives. No Oakland building code enforcement inspector had looked at the inside of the converted warehouse that was the scene of last week's deadly fire in 3 decades. The revelation in the wake of the fire at the Artists Collective that killed 36 people raises questions about city inspection policies. ATF Special Agent Jill Schneider says there was no warning system in place.
There is no evidence that a fire alarm system or fire suppression was installed in the building.
The building had no permits for residences or events, but had been converted to living and workspaces. The Senate has voted overwhelmingly to support sweeping legislation that will reshape the way the FDA approves new medicines and devices. It will also provide funding for cancer and Alzheimer's research, help fight the opioid epidemic, expand access to mental health treatment, and advance research into precision medicine. The measure now goes to President Obama. And if you're on Facebook, beware, two scams, one called the Secret Sister Gift Exchange exchange and the other the secret wine bottle exchange are spreading across the site like crazy, and unfortunately users are falling for it. They sound like fun Secret Santa-like gift exchanges, but they're actually pyramid schemes and illegal.
Just nothing like taking advantage of people during the holiday season with a scam, right?
I've seen that secret sister.
How have
thing.
You?
Yeah. And definitely. Some people that I know were
get some gifts
passing
and stuff?
Around. I didn't get any.
Send some gifts?
No. Not me.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. If you're out of gift ideas for the person who has everything, you may want to explore buying them a rock from Nordstrom. That's not slang for a diamond either. It's just a rock. Happens to be wrapped in leather. CNN Money says an $85 leather-wrapped stone has sold out at Nordstrom's online store. Description of it reads, a paperweight, a conversation piece, a work of art, it's up to you. CNN confirms to, Nordstrom confirms to CNN that the rocks, quote, are indeed real items for sale. Further description, this smooth Los Angeles area stone wrapped in rich vegetable tanned American leather, secured by sturdy contrast backstitching, is sure to draw attention wherever it rests. It reads, quote, each piece is unique and will vary slightly. Yeah, because it's a rock. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.